You're listening to the Great Recruiter Training Podcast, hosted by industry expert, trainer, and motivator, Scott Love.
Hey, this is Scott Love, and thanks for joining me on the podcast. Did you know that over 2,000 to 3,000 recruiters every single month download these podcasts? I really appreciate you guys taking the time to listen to this and applying it. I'm not asking you to buy anything or sign up for anything. All I really care about is this making a difference for you, taking action. Just take something that you learn here and go do something. You don't need to send me an email. You don't need to call me or buy any of my stuff or anything. I'm okay with all that. But what I really do care about is making this industry just a little bit better. I think that there are some glaring voids within our profession, and that's just people are not doing enough. They're not reaching their full potential. And my goal is to help the whole industry get just a little bit better by applying knowledge, not just thinking about it, not just talking about it, or going to another conference or attending another webinar. It's just actually picking up the phone, making the call, swinging the bat. This business is not rocket science. I'll even tell my clients that when I show them my process flow sheet, I'll say, as you see, this is a pretty simple process. It's about me connecting with strangers, tapping them on the shoulder, getting them comfortable with the idea of the fear of change, getting them to trust me, bring the walls down, and I find out what their motivations are, and then, and only then, can I effectively sell your firm's opportunity. That's what it's all about. Now, in this podcast, I'm offering a special interview with Rory Vaden, who is the author of the New York Times best-selling book, Take the Stairs, and I'm really excited about this. Now, Rory, he's a speaker and has been for quite some time. He's with a company called the Southwestern Consulting Firm, and he'll tell you about this. And it's a very special organization tied to a company that's been around ever since the Civil War, one of the oldest and most world-renowned sales organizations. And they have a division, a search firm, where I even had the pleasure of doing some training within their company many years ago. Listen to what Rory says. Before I bring on Rory for the interview, one thing I wanted to clarify. People had asked me, when I launched Recruiter VT, they thought, what about the coaching club? Well, that's actually part of Recruiter VT. When you sign up for Recruiter VT, you not only get the video courses, you not only get the 300 hours of content, and it's all my content, you also get access to the weekly calls. Every week at 1 o'clock Eastern time, you log in and it's a webinar format. So I videotape myself so you can see me over GoToMeeting. You can see me right here at my desk doing the training, answering the Q&A, and then that's all recorded and you get to listen to that. And so that's what that is. So with Recruiter VT, that really is both the live training every week, which also includes group coaching. So you get coaching directly from me. You have any situations that you want some advice from, every week I solve people's problems, and I'm very happy to do that. Then you also get the training part of that. So that's what that is, if there's any misunderstanding about that. And now let's listen to my good friend and best-selling author, Rory Vaden.
Joining with me today on the Great Recruiter Training Podcast is my good friend, Rory Vaden, who is a New York Times best-selling author of the book, Take the Stairs. I read that book. It's an amazing sales book focusing on the topic of discipline. Rory is also the co-founder of Southwestern Consulting. It's a training and consulting firm based in Tennessee that helps sales companies improve their performance. Rory, thanks for joining me today.
Yeah, I'm so excited. Thanks, Scott, for having me. It's good to be here.
Absolutely. Now, you cut your teeth on sales. You know, I'm curious, in your personal career, what were some of the early sales jobs that you had in your profession?
Well, you know, I've been around sales my entire life. I was raised by a single mother who sold Mary Kay cosmetics.
Right.
And so, you know, I was always at the sales meetings, and it basically means that I grew up around women who were always teaching me about the principles of success in sales. It also means I know more about makeup than I do about cars. but when I was in college, I got recruited to work for the Southwestern Advantage Summer Program, and Southwestern's been around for over 150 years, and I ended up doing this for 5 summers, and it's the craziest summer job you can imagine, because I was an accounting major, 19 years old, the University of Denver, you know, this kind of shy, nerdy accounting kid. I get recruited, and what I did for 5 summers and what Southwestern's done for over 150 years is – I would go through a week-long sales school in Nashville, Tennessee, and then after that week, we would go to a state we had never been before, we would knock on doors to find a place to live for the summer once we got there. And once we found a place to live, then every morning we would wake up at 5:59 a.m., take ice-cold showers, and go out, knock on doors 14 hours a day, 8 a.m. to 10 p.m., you know, 6 days a week on residential, you know, straight commission residential door to door. So I, you know, that's a long way of saying I grew up to be a door to door salesperson. And honestly, Scott, I never wanted to become a door to door salesperson, right? I was a perfectly normal child. I wanted to sell Mary Kay.
So what were the things that you learned during that experience? I mean, that's a lot of work doing that during your summer.
Yeah, it's intense. And you know, the reason I got into it originally was for the money, because the average student their first summer will make $8,500. And I just did the keynote for the send-off meeting for like, you know, 500 of the students that were here last week. And they're all out knocking on doors right this very second. And I think my first summer I made about $17,000. And then each of the next four summers I made over $50,000 a summer. So I made almost $250,000 in five summers doing this. And my business partner, I have two business partners, Dave and Dustin, that both made $100,000 in one summer. And those guys are a couple of my business partners now. And you know, the biggest thing that, like, if I could only you know, like one sentence kind of boil it down, and last week when I did the keynote at the sales school send off for all the kids this year, there's this phrase that we always say at Southwestern Consulting: the answer's behind the next door. The answer to every problem is behind the next door. Like, when it's too hot, go to the next door. When you're lonely, go to the next door. When you haven't sold anything in 3 days, go to the next door. The answer's behind the next door. And it very much integrates into our sort of expertise now and the Take the Stairs book, because, you know, the whole message of Take the Stairs is that success comes down to doing the things you know you should be doing even when you don't feel like doing them. You know, success is not about taking the escalator. It's about taking the stairs. It's about doing the things, making those choices that nobody else would make. And for a salesperson, or, you know, for somebody in executive search, a headhunter, it's like, it's the same thing. The answer to every problem is behind the next phone call. It's behind the next candidate. It's behind the next job order.
That's right. Activity is a solution for everything. You're absolutely right, Roy. What a great lesson to get in, to get integrated into your mind as a young kid.
Oh, yeah.
And so I'm curious, what was it that motivated you to write this book? Because this is a book that talks about action in sales, you know, really overcoming the fear, the entitlement attitudes, perfectionism, all those paralyzers that keep people from taking action. Mm-hmm. And this is something I see within our own industry. Is that I would rather have someone that is motivated and that has a burning desire to win than someone that has talent. If someone can take action and can make lots of mistakes and learn from them, they'll eventually develop that talent. So I'm just kind of curious, what motivated you to write this book, Roy?
Well, it's a great question, Scott, and I get that question a lot now, because, you know, the book I got, it's just my first book, and it's now been translated into 10 languages, and it was like number one on Wall Street Journal and number two on New York Times. And it's like this big kind of, it's growing like this international phenomenon. But the irony is I never set out to write a book to solve the world's problems. Like, I set out on a journey to solve my own. And 9 years ago, I was, I had over $50,000 in personal debt, and I was 45 pounds heavier than I am right now. And, you know, our company, when we started Southwestern Consulting from scratch, you know, it was like we bootstrapped with four of us. Now we have 74 employees, and we've coached over 2,700 salespeople for 6 months. And we've, you know, we do sales consulting with Google and DirecTV and Verizon. I mean, we have big clients. And but back then we had, I don't mean to brag or anything, but in our first year we did $1 million in revenue, and I successfully spent about $1.5 million turning our organization into a nonprofit organization. And I'm sitting there going, what am I gonna, you know, and I had this realization. I woke up one day and it was like, you know, I realized that I had developed this one negative habit, and it was that somehow at some point in my life I had reached this point where I decided that I was no longer going to do the things I knew I should be doing if I didn't feel like doing them. I was putting off things, not that my business partners wanted me to do, or my spouse or my parents, right? It's the things that I knew I should be doing, and I was putting them off. And in the business world, there's a word for that, and we call it procrastination. It's putting off the things you know you should be doing. And so I started studying procrastination, and we started researching it, and we're, you know, working with our sales clients, our coaching clients, and our consulting clients, and we found out of 10,000 U.S. employees, the average employee self-admits to wasting 2.09 hours every single day. Two hours either chit-chatting at the water cooler or surfing the web or engaging in creative avoidance, which is a concept that I lay out in the book. It's a new type of procrastination. We call it creative avoidance. And the answer, you know, how do you solve that? And the answer is in a word. It's not a word anybody likes. It's not a word anybody wants to hear. It's not a word I want to say. But it's the freaking truth. And it's self-discipline.
Right.
It's doing those things. And so basically, all the Take the Stairs book is was after profiling these people and really digging in, we found these seven key distinctions for how the most disciplined people in the world think differently from everybody else. And that is why we wrote the book, is because we started to realize that self-discipline, contrary to what people think, is not as hard as they think when they know how to think about it the right way. And that's what Take the Stairs is. It's just these seven key distinctions that make self-discipline a little bit easier.
And the concepts that you write about, you're absolutely right. It's not hard. If somebody just kind of, if they just go forward, if they take the first step, they'll find the momentum to carry them forward. And I found some of the things that you wrote about, they ring true to the people that I've taught within the industry, just what you said. Do what you know you need to do, even though you don't feel like it. I mean, that's what true professionalism really is, doing work at an exceptional level, even when you don't like to do the work. And within our niche, within headhunting, I always say that in any job that you have, there is going to be misery. If you think being a movie star is glamorous, what you don't see is the misery of waiting 9 hours in the swamp field in the middle of the night, slapping mosquitoes, waiting until, okay, now I've got my 5 minutes to get on the set. You know, there's misery everywhere in any profession. And in sales, there's a lot of misery in the rejection. And so I think people, they look at that, oh, that's so hard, that's so difficult, I'm going to create some sort of avoidance. And I see this a lot within our industry, social media. Social media can be valuable for other types of niches within what we do. I even created an acronym for Twitter. It's time wasted in trying to escape rejection. You know, people.
I love that. That's good.
Yeah, they will create activities that seem like they're busy, but they're not engaging people that have a high likelihood of going forward.
And that's creative avoidance. Creative avoidance is unconsciously creating stuff for yourself to do so that you can do those things, so that you can avoid doing the thing you know you really should be doing that you don't want to do. So it's a deceptive form of taking the escalator. And here's what's interesting about what you said. And you know, every industry does have these hard things. They do have these challenges. Like a movie star does have to work their butt off. You know, the Take the Stairs book, it was 9 years in the making, and then suddenly, you know, it hits the New York Times, and all of a sudden it's this big deal. But it was like, it didn't happen on accident. And the success of the book is a case study of its own principles. And one of them, the very first principle in the whole book, kind of speaks to what you're talking about, and it's called the paradox principle of sacrifice. And the paradox principle of sacrifice says that easy short-term choices lead to difficult long-term consequences. Meanwhile, difficult short-term choices lead to easy long-term consequences. So what the great paradox is what most of us you know, think, and we go, yeah, there are hard parts of being successful. There is a lot of rejection. But it's much harder to not go through that. In other words, the whole idea with Take the Stairs is not about making your life as hard as possible. It's completely the opposite. It's about making your life as easy as possible. It seems easy now, but it makes things much more difficult in the long term. And so what we realized is that procrastination is a creditor that charges you interest. You always pay a price. You either pay the price now, today, or you will pay a much greater price in the future. And so Take the Stairs is about making your life as easy as possible and is doing the hardest parts of things as soon as possible. And that paradox is only something that only a few people really consciously understand and live their life by. And it's a different way of thinking.
One of the things I see is that, for example, picking up a book like this and reading it, a lot of people, they just have not developed that habit yet. And I learned this from Jeffrey Gittimer. When I first got into speaking and training over 10 years ago, he was kind enough to open up his office to me, and I met his staff. He wrote the foreword for my book. And I remember hearing him talk about just reading 2 pages a day. Just do something every day, create that habit. And it's almost like you trick yourself into reading chapters at a time when you're just doing something, just doing a little bit to kind of break that habit of inaction. There are several key insights I took from your book. Some of them I'd heard before, some of them I just hadn't heard in quite that perspective. And for everybody listening, I'd recommend that you get Rory's book called Take the Stairs, Do It Today, and just start reading a little bit. Just pick it up and read a little bit every day. Because I think you tell a lot of great stories in here, Rory. I read your book in about a day and a half. You know, my wife was out of town, and so here I am at home. I'm like, oh, I'm not going to watch TV. I'm going to hold off watching TV. I want to read Rory's book. And so I read it, and it was an easy, quick read where you retain the knowledge. And then I always find repetition is key. So I'll just go back through books and flip through highlighted things. Or what I like about your book is that it's formatted so that you can see where all the main concepts are, and you can just turn to those pages and pick up on those again.
Yeah.
So it's well written. I commend you for what you've done, Rory. This is a well written sales book.
Thank you.
So there are a couple of concepts that I wanted you to talk a little bit about. One of them was the law of diminishing intent. What is that exactly, and how does that affect salespeople?
The law of diminishing intent basically says that our intention to take action on a goal or an activity is highest the moment that we create that intention, but that naturally over time that intention starts to fade. You know, the classic example of this is the New Year's resolution. If you go to the gym on January 5th, it's you know, you notice the gym is packed, right? It's crazy. There's people everywhere. It's like you have to wait in line to get on a treadmill. You know, the locker room is packed. I mean, the worst part is you got to drive around the parking lot for 25 minutes just to find a closed parking space to walk into the gym. And yet if you go to that same gym on March 5th, you know, you'll notice it's completely empty. It's like people are missing. There's no explanation. It's like the rapture occurred, right?
Yeah, that's funny.
The treadmills are running. Nobody's on them. And it's like, what happened? That is the law of diminishing intent at its finest. And so, you know, salespeople come out of sales meetings or at the start of the year of a quarter or something, and they're on fire. But then naturally over time, that intention starts to fade. And, when Take the Stairs, one of the principles is called the pendulum principle of action. And that's where we kind of talk through, how do you get yourself to take action? How do you get yourself to take action, and why do people really procrastinate? Like, what is the source of it? And you know, psychologists say the number one cause of all procrastination is self-criticism.
Wow.
Self-criticism. And so, you know, like, I started to wonder, like, why isn't it that more people don't take action? Is it because they don't care about success? Is it because they don't care about letting other people down? Do they not mind the idea that, you know, they're not living up to what they said they're going to do? And actually, it's just the opposite. What we found is the reason why most people can't take action is because they care so much about success. They care so much about providing for their family. They care so much about being a good role model for their kids that what ends up happening is they put so much pressure on themselves to be perfect and so much pressure to succeed. And they think only about all their results, and this pressure starts to pile up and pile up and pile up. And what happens is they tell themselves this, they live in a fantasy land, and their fantasy land is, you know, once I get my desk clean, once I get my stuff organized, once the kids are out of college, once, you know, I'm married, once we get out of debt, once whatever. And the whole idea with that is they're basically saying, this matters so much to me that I just want to make sure I don't screw it up. And I want to make sure it's the perfect time, and that I have the perfect plan, and that it is just the right set of circumstances, and that everything is in order so that I don't mess it up. And so what happens is they wait and they wait and they wait for a perfect time that never comes. And eventually the law of diminishing intent sets in. It's this invisible enemy working against you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and eventually it wins. And so the question is, how do the ultra performers that we profiled, how do they think different? Or do they think differently? And it turns out that they do. This is one of the major distinctions for how people think. And it's so simple, it's almost ridiculous. The way that ultra performers cultivate the habit of action, the way you cultivate the habit of action in your life, is you develop this habit where you become relentless about progress. You demand progress. You become ruthless about this idea that today, on this day, I will make progress, no matter how small, but I will not stand still and I will not go backward. I am going to do something in my control to make progress every single day, and there's nothing I will not accept not making progress. And at the exact same time, you completely free yourself from the demand for perfection.
I think you're absolutely right, Roy. It's just taking action, just doing something. I would say that live in the world of good enough. It's just good enough. It's 80% good. It's good. It's good. Make your mistakes and improve as you go forward, but at least you're making your mistakes. You're doing something. When I coach people, when I train people, when I hire people, I tell them, I say, just start. Just pick up the phone. Make a mess. You know, here's some guidance, but just make a mess. Don't worry about the results, and we'll figure this thing out. So that's a great concept. I like the way you articulate that, Roy. Let me ask you this. I think you said that you have a blog. Tell me a little bit about that, and how can people learn more about you and some of the solutions that you offer to them?
Yeah, well, I think the blog is a great place to start. I write a blog almost every day. You know, maybe like two or three a week, and they're really short, just kind of little like bursts of motivation or insight or inspiration. And then I have a weekly podcast, and you know, of course, it's like if Twitter is your preferred medium or Facebook's your preferred medium, the links to all of that is at RoryVadenBlog.com. So if you go to RoryVadenBlog.com, you can, you know, sign up for the podcast if you want. You can sign up to get emailed every time I post a blog. You can, you know, find me on Twitter or whatever. The other thing at RoryVadenBlog.com is if you are interested in learning about coaching, right, you can request a free call and we'll connect you with one of our coaches. If you're a sales manager, you can request to have one of our coaches or trainers, consultants, will actually go out to your office for free as a way of sort of introducing themselves, and they'll do it. They'll work with you to do a free training for your team. It's part of how we work. So. I think, you know, we're just giving away stuff, you know. RoryVadenBlog.com is the place to go.
That's great, Roy. And one of your sister companies is also an executive search firm. So our profession, our industry, that's something that you all are familiar with also, right?
Yeah, it is. You know, Thinking Head is the name of our sister company. And one of the guys that made the profile cut for Take the Stairs is Tim Knight. And he's a 9-time Pinnacle producer. And you know, I know that means something to a lot of people in this industry. He's very, very successful, and he was one of the people that actually we profiled, and then his profile got accepted. And you know, I guess the last thing I would just leave everybody with, Scott, is everyone, you know, we get to the end of this whole idea, and people say, okay, Rory, so let's say I start doing all this stuff. Like, let's say I start making the sacrifices, right? And let's say that I start overcoming procrastination, and I'm being disciplined, and I'm taking the stairs, and I'm doing all the things that I don't want to do. How long do I have to do that for? And that is one of the key, the most significant distinctions in between the ultra performers and everybody else. Most people are looking for a shortcut. They're looking for an escalator. They're looking for a magic pill or a secret potion and a hidden formula. And the mentality of an ultra performer is different. And they embrace something that we call the rent axiom. And the rent axiom says that success is never owned. Success is only rented. And the rent is due every day.
That's right. Ain't that the truth, Roy?
Yes, sir. Never owned, it's rented, and the rent is due every day. And you can take the word success out of that, and you could put in for that whatever matters most to you in your life. Like financial security is never owned, it's rented, and the rent is due every day. A great customer relationship is never owned, it's rented, and the rent is due every day. Being in great physical health is never owned, it's rented, and the rent is due every day. Success is never owned, it is rented. And the rent is due every day.
Well, great concepts, great book, Roy. Where's the preferred outlet that people should go to get your book? Will they find it in the bookstores or Amazon or on your site?
Yeah, I mean anywhere. They can go to Amazon, of course, or Barnes & Noble, Books A Million. But if you go to roryvadenblog.com and if you do buy it from us, there's some free bonuses that we do if people buy them through us. So whatever is easiest for you.
That's great, Roy. Thanks so much for being our guest today, and we'll talk again real soon. And I'll see you in San Diego at the National Speakers Association Convention here in a couple of weeks.
Yeah, that sounds good, Scott. I'll see you soon.
Sounds great. Thank you, Roy.
All right, thanks. Bye-bye.